You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Maureen Goodall was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa at the age of 4 and has adapted to life with sight loss thanks to many things, including a large experience of this sight condition within her family, and has had experience of boarding school and mainstream education too. Maureen joins us now. Can you tell us, first of all, how was it growing up with sight loss from such an early age? When, you know, at the age of 4 and a half when you were diagnosed, how much did you know about what was going on at the time?
My mum went blind when I was 5. And until then, I don't think I really knew what sight loss was about. I knew my mum couldn't see very well because if I moved things in the house, I would get told off. She didn't really explain to me what sight loss was. It was that generation that just didn't talk about their feelings, what was happening to them, or what was going to happen to me. Most of my experiences have been watching my mum as I grew up. I remember one particular day when I came home from school and suddenly there was this weird contraption, which I now know is called a brailler, and a white cane. And I thought they were new toys for me to play with. So I began typing on the brailler, got the paper stuck, ran upstairs because I was scared because I thought I'd broken it. Thankfully, I hadn't. And then the next day, I decided I was going to play horses with my mum's white cane. And I did get very told off. But up until that point, I had no clue what was ahead of me at all, because I just wasn't told. For years, I wasn't told.
At which point did things start to change and you began learning and realising what was going on with your own sight?
I think it was when I was in mainstream primary school, probably about the age of 6 or 7. Suddenly I was having these special lessons where I was taken out of class and I had to have special sort of reading lessons with books and stuff like that. I was shoved at the back of the class, but being a village school at the time, there wasn't a lot of us, but I did struggle. I struggled a lot. I couldn't see the blackboard. I got very frustrated because my friends could play ball and I was left out because I couldn't see the ball coming at me until it hit me in the face. I was then given glasses, probably about the age of 6 and a half, which were the horrible NHS pink glasses, if anybody remembers those. But they were taken off me at playtimes. So I couldn't play with the other kids. I couldn't chase them. I couldn't play ball with them because I just couldn't see them. And I did start to feel left out and I was severely bullied because I couldn't see.
What would you say was the turning point where actually you've started to not only adapt to life with sight loss, but also feel a bit better about it and more positive about being able to live with sight loss?
Probably when I went to boarding school when I was 11. Up until that point, I'd only ever met adults that had sight loss because by then, my mum was heavily involved in Heart Society for the Blind, as it was then. So I knew a lot of adults with sight loss, but not any children until I went to boarding school. And then suddenly, I was with lots of children that had sight problems. We were all the same. Although we had different sight loss, we were still the same. We knew each other's journey because we were on the same journey. Growing up.
What else would you say you found useful when you were in boarding school and in general adapting to life with sight loss? What did you find helped you to learn the most and adapt to living life with sight loss?
Being told that I can do. At boarding school, it's not like being at home. You don't get hugs from your mum. Your mum doesn't do everything for you. You have to do everything. So when you get to a certain age, you have to do your own washing. So I learned to stand on my own 2 feet and be very independent from a very early age, which has probably helped me teach my children, because 2 of my sons have RP and 1 has autism as well, to stand on their own 2 feet.
Do you wish you've had more mainstream education experience in between going to 2 different boarding schools? In a sense that, you know, you've had experience of boarding school and then you've learned a lot. Would you have wished to have gone back into mainstream and see how your experience and what you've learned from boarding school stood up in a mainstream environment?
No, I'm glad I stayed at boarding school because talking to some of my friends now who went to school at the same time as me in mainstream, they said that, the schools couldn't cope with people with disabilities. And the one reason I was sent to boarding school as I was starting senior school was because the local school here said that if I went to their school, I wouldn't have been able to do home economics. I wouldn't have been able to do sport or biology that involved Bunsen burners or home economics. So I would have been left out of a lot of stuff that I wasn't left out at boarding school.
Now, you've mentioned having children with visual impairment. How did it feel to be able to teach them various valuable lessons that you have yourself learned while growing up with sight loss?
When I had my eldest boy, I'd been told that any girls I had would have been affected with RP simply because there was a lot of females in the family that had it and not a lot of males. So when my son was diagnosed at 4 and a half, I was devastated. And it took me a while to get my head around the fact that I have now got a child with retinitis pigmentosa. And I've now got the responsibility of teaching him that the word I can't isn't in my vocabulary. So from a very early age, I taught him that just because he has sight loss, he's not different from anybody else. And luckily, by the time he joined, started primary school, the whole attitude to disability, especially vision loss in mainstream school, had changed. And him and his younger brother had better experiences in primary school and senior school than I did.
When it comes to the things you've learned on your sight loss journey, with this being your own sight loss journey and your children's journey when it comes to sight loss, what would you say is the most valuable lesson you have learned?
Asking for help when I need it. It took me a long time to A, accept that I have a disability. My teenage years, I fought against it. I wasn't going to use a white cane. I didn't want to learn Braille. But once I'd accepted it, I think that was half the battle. With my children, I think I tried to get them accepting a lot sooner that they have a sight loss problem and they are going to go on a journey that is going to be similar to mine, but that I will always be there for them. Because I know exactly what they're going through.
And finally, to finish off, when it comes to people who may be new to sight loss, I mean, you've given a lot of good advice so far, but what would you say to people who are newly diagnosed with sight loss and, who feel at a loss and maybe don't know where to start, don't know what to do as that sort of first step to acceptance and adapting to life with sight loss?
The first step, I think, would be contacting their local sight loss charity because Heart's Vision Loss have been through my life, have been absolutely fantastic in helping me in every step of the way. Talking to other people that are on the same journey as you, not necessarily with the same eye condition, getting advice about the apps that are out there now, the places that, help you. You've got the Nimbus card, so you can go, you can get a plus one. So you can carry on doing the things that you love to do. Like I love going to concerts, accepting help from other people, or even counselling. I had some counselling a few years ago, and I'm glad I did because it helped me realise that my disability is not just part of me. There are other things as well.
Thank you very much, Maureen Goodall, for coming on and bravely sharing your sight loss story here with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.